Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 26th of July. I'm your host, Paul White. And as you saw on the title today of the podcast, it is Long Form Friday. Feel a little bad calling it Long Form Friday because this one, compared to previous Long Form Fridays, is sort of a mini Long Form Friday or a longer than normal form Friday, but not a full-blown long form. This is a question and answer session. I break away from our 1 Corinthians 5 study for one day. I want to air for you a few responses I gave to a set of questions with our group, our online group we meet with monthly or nearly monthly out of Wichita, Kansas. On this particular day, they were meeting in multiple locations. The message that accompanied this Q&A will air this Sunday. That is 2 days from right now on the 28th of July. We will air the message titled, When He Remembers. And so if you like the longer sermons, this message airs Sunday and includes one question. And I didn't stop to take the question. We had taken the question via email. And so I then just put it in at the end of the sermon. It's about 40, I think the sermon, it's 47, 48 minutes. Anyway, this Sunday, all of the platforms where you get our podcasts and our videos, you can get this message. And if you have never subscribed to our YouTube channel, do so. PWM is our YouTube channel, PWM, and they'll shoot right to you every Sunday and Wednesday as we also air our midweek Bible study from the book of John. Okay. The questions were coming to me through the Zoom app, so the audio isn't very good, so I didn't include that. What we're going to do is I will sort of lead you in, and then I'll give you my recorded response, my response that day. I'll come back after my response, and I'll sort of help you with the next question, or tell you what the basic breakdown of the question. That way, you don't have to sort of struggle through the poor audio coming from the other side, okay? And then we'll do that a few times. We have a few answers to a few different questions, and so we'll do that a few times over the course of this podcast as we get out for you all of these responses. Okay, the first question that came up during the Q&A was in regards to a set of sermons I had preached not too many weeks before that. The message is entitled Jesus for a Generation and Clothed, Seated, and in His Right Mind. That duo of sermons I delivered at a Grace Conference in Goldsboro, North Carolina in the spring of this year. And they have been two of the most highly regarded and commented upon sermons that we've posted in a while. I knew that would happen. I had a real clear mandate from the Lord to deliver those messages. And if you haven't listened to them, I want to highly recommend them, okay? And I'm not getting anything out of asking you to do this. They're free. You can find them on our website. You can find them on our Facebook page. You can find them at PWM, at YouTube. Again, Jesus for a Generation was the first one. Clothed, seated, and in His Right Mind was the second one. These are messages about Jesus going to the land of the Gadarenes and dealing with that young man often called the Gadarene demoniac. I think we should probably do better. He's not the Gadarene demoniac anymore. Anyhow, the messages really deal with an attack on this generation. Our first couple questions today will be along those lines. The first question was in regards to those sermons and how this next generation is under attack and the fact that we are responsible for helping them and for guiding them and for steering them, then how do we do that with our kids? How do we make sure our sons, I think the question specifically was sons, but we include sons and daughters, how do we make sure our sons and daughters don't end up like that young man in the story of the Gadarene demoniac? And this was my answer.
Perfect. Communicate. Talk all the time. Be a listener. And what I mean by communicate and talk all the time is not do all the talking, but learn how to listen to the needs that are relevant and to him, to them, to her, to their generation. Hear their cry, communicate, and keep those doors open. At the same time, you notice in that second message, we took the boy to the clothed and seated and in his right mind. And I think that clothed one is the first step and a step that needs to be continuously happening. We have to clothe our kids over in proper identity. They have to constantly know who they are in Christ, and that who they are in Christ is not what they do, but who they are in Christ is what he says about them. And that if they can get an identity of what he says about them, then what they do will eventually begin to line up with who they are. The hardest thing as parents, the hardest thing for me as a parent, I won't speak for everyone else, but the hardest thing for me has been not loving my kids. That's easy, I think. Even when they do something stupid, it's easy to love them. What's hard is continuing to see them the way God sees them, even though they're not acting like it. Even though they're not acting like a prince and a princess. You know, even though they're not acting like the righteousness of God in Christ, to keep treating them as if they are is the hardest thing to do. To keep throwing robes of righteousness on them, to keep emphasizing how loved they are and who they are. That also doesn't take away the fact that we expect them to be responsible in the world and to be accountable. And that's okay. You have to make people accountable. And they're never going to be responsible in the world if they're not accountable to something and to someone. And so that's an important step. But keep throwing those robes on them. Keep giving them rest at the table. That's the seated part of that. That's teaching them that they dwell in a place of rest. In their right mind, are raising people who aren't cowards and don't have fear in the world. And part of not being a coward is squaring off with the dragon once in a while, which means your kids are going to make mistakes, because the only way to learn how to be a winner is to get punched in the mouth once in a while. And I'm not talking about physically. I mean, the only way to get to the triumph is to go through some tragedy. And so we have to let the rope out a little bit and let them do that rather than keeping them sheltered. But the final part of that story, and this is not easy, the final part of that story is we don't necessarily put them on the boat of ministry. We send them out to where they're most useful. And where they're most useful, it's going to be tough for them to find, and we got to let them go. And this kind of, I think, happens as they get older. It's not just little kids. It's as they get older and start to go out into the world. You have to let them go and go find who they are supposed to be. But simple nutshell, I think we have to keep clothing them over, keep placing them in a place of rest, keep preparing them by letting them know who they are so that they can go out and make a difference in the world. Parenting is a full-time job, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do. And I don't want to discourage anyone. I know we have at least one family in one room that's listening that's about to be parents. It's hard. It's not easy, and you make a lot of mistakes, but you love them, and you tell them who they are in Christ and constantly communicate. And I think you'll be miles ahead if you do that.
Okay, after that question, that sort of led us into another. There was a question that surfaced in the room. Actually, I think it was in the other room. We were doing multiple rooms in this meeting. And in the other room, a question surfaced that sort of rode the back of that answer. And it was in regards to raising kids. And you got to understand, the group that we're meeting with here, a lot of younger parents, some brand new parents. And so they're asking questions about parenting and what that looks like. And so this question was not only in regards to parenting, but it was in regards to how to treat the attacks of the enemy. How do we teach Satan, or do we, to our kids? Like, what do we say to them about the forces of darkness, and how do we handle that as parents with our kids? And so I try to go into what that might look like. And I try not to be definitive in these answers, like this is what you should say and this is the correct answer. I really try to throw a lot of things out there so that my audience, be it that room or you listening by podcast, can really sort of flesh these things out as you journey. So this is our response to that.
I would say that there's a lot of takes on the devil, who he is and how he is and where he come from and what he looks like and what he can do and what he can't. And I don't worry too much about the etymology, where he come from and the physicality and what's he look like and what can he do. And because the reason I don't worry so much about it, because I know that on the back side of light is dark. And I know that on the other side of good is evil. And I know that that exists. And that is real. And if we want to call that the devil as an entity that moves around, fine. The Bible tends to do that, okay? So I'm okay with doing that. That's why I say that's the voice of the enemy. I don't necessarily mean somebody slinking around in your house talking, as much as I mean there's a opposing voice that's opposing the Spirit's voice in your heart. And it might be what you call the spirit of this age, and it might be what you want to call the invisible devil. Whatever it is, what I think how we have to deal with it as believers is to realize that this power of the enemy of darkness, of the system of this world, is a conquered power. And you and I are victorious in Christ over it winning our souls and our minds, over it robbing our joy, over it taking our peace. And we have to assert our place as the sons and daughters of God so that we don't allow those things to define us. How we deal with that in our kids, I think, is to speak candidly. Listen, there's a system in this world that thinks differently than you do as a child of God, that wants you to focus on the natural instead of the supernatural, that wants you to focus on the temporal instead of the eternal, that wants you to face situations with only your own ability rather than faith or the power of the Holy Spirit. And however you define that, that's okay. But get them to understand that there is an attack. That conversation that I had with my daughter, what I ended up with getting her to understand, and I think I'm successful because we've had ongoing conversations since, is that there is an underlying agenda in the system of the world that is meant to destroy your peace, that is meant to take your focus off of your place in the Father. Otherwise, what are we talking about when we say Jesus come to give a kingdom? Why did he even need to give a kingdom if there's not an opposing force in the world against that kingdom? And the idea of a king in his kingdom is what got the early church killed. Nobody died because they said you were going to go to a place called heaven. They died because they said a place called heaven has invaded this hell. And here's what it looks like. And so we rally around that. I can't give you the end-all answer as far as the devil, because the New Testament tends to shift that focus. Sometimes it seems very much like it's the demon powers of Mark 1, and they are at work in the hearts of people. And sometimes it seems very much like a character Jesus goes out into the wilderness to face. And sometimes it's a nameless adversary, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I think the fact that the New Testament's all over the map is its way of telling us there's an opposing force to you, and you have the Holy Spirit. And I think what we'll find is a lot of times is that opposition is more you than it is anything else. It's more us than it is an enemy. And that's why I say my greatest enemy is Paul, not something else. My greatest enemy is me losing focus on who I am and trying to figure this stuff out on my own. These are conversations you should have with your kids the moment they begin to understand that they're not alone in the universe, that God loves them, and that they are who the Bible says that they are, so that they start to recognize that not every voice that goes out into the world is worth their time and worth their attention, because not every voice that goes out into the world is out to build them up and to love them. And so that's part of the parental responsibility, I think, of having those conversations and realizing that There are no easy answers. It's one of those things we keep working out and talking over as we go with our kids. And when you get, the, I think when you get your, when you can get your kids, your young people, your young adults into that frame of mind where they realize there's an opposing force, there's opposite, there's something opposing their peace, I think they'll start to realize, they'll start to mature and discern the difference between good and evil. And the discerning the difference between good and evil comes, starts by knowing who we are. And then it branches out from there. That was kind of a rambling answer. I hope I at least brushed what you were asking.
Okay, and following that, someone sort of stepped up and made a statement. It was more of a statement than a question. And the statement was basically that, and they were kind of going along with what we had said about Satan, or the devil, and said that I've learned in my own walk that not everything is an attack of the darkness, that I really need to recognize where it's just me, where it's me making errors or me making bad decisions or me and then blaming it on the devil. And so I chime in, you'll get my chime, and this will be it. We'll head after this. The podcast is concluded. This will be me responding to that, sort of talking about how I view those personal attacks in my life as well. And once this answer is finished, we'll head away, and then tomorrow we'll get back into 1 Corinthians 5. God bless.
9% bad and 49% Paul doing something stupid and 2% the devil. You know, I don't know. I don't know the percentage. I do believe this, and I think this is a good place to throw this in. This would probably be more than a throw-in. I do believe you have the Holy Spirit in you for more reasons than just to hear that you're righteous. The Holy Spirit identifies the works of the enemy. And I think there are going to be times in your life where the Holy Spirit's going to speak up in your spirit and say, this is an attack of the forces of darkness. Take control over this. And you'll know. I've had that happen where I believe very much the Holy Spirit said, this isn't circumstance. This isn't just coincidence. This isn't just timing. This isn't you. This is an attack of the enemy. Take control over it in the name of Jesus. You have that ability. I think the danger, and I think this is where Kyle is, and I think this is, I think Kyle and I probably were right on the same page with this. I think the danger is when you think everything is an attack of the enemy. And so you run around just rebuking everything all the time, rather than dealing with life. And it's easier in some ways to just bind stuff in the name of Jesus, even though nothing happened, but you feel better about it, than it is to deal with junk, which sometimes you have to deal with. But I do believe that there will be moments where the Holy Spirit very clearly says this is an attack of the enemy.
One way to deal with that attack, if it is of the enemy, I know that's kind of an ambiguous term, is the posture that you have the victory already. I mean, does that add on there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you... anything you take control over, you do it because you have the authority to do so. And you're one of the sons of God. Jesus shows you how to square off with the dragon in the wilderness. And he bases it in word, and he doesn't allow someone else to take him from the position of sonship. He knows he's a son, no matter how much the enemy fights against him being a son. I think the position of strength for the believer is the identity that they're one of the Father's sons and daughters. And anything outside of that, you're out of your position of strength because you're out of the family. You're out of the knowledge that you have authority as a member of the family. So yes, it's looking at it as a finished work, but also as a place in which I'm standing from my position as one of the sons and daughters of God.